بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the first of May in the year 2018 الحمد لله we've reached the midnight or the mid month of the blessed month of Sha'ban. So we pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He blesses us in our months of Rajab and Sha'aban and convey us safely to the holy month of Ramadan. And we ask our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon us in this auspicious night and to forgive us our many failings due to His great kindness and mercy. And also to have mercy upon those who passed away before reaching this blessed night. And to also have mercy upon us and to bless us in the forthcoming year. So yesterday I spent the session taking a glimpse into, again, the greatness of our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, but more specifically with regards to His glorious speech, i.e. the glorious Quran. So to mention one more sign before moving on, entitled Eclipses, Signs of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in a famous report in Sahih Bukhari, number 977, Sahih Muslim, number 901, Nasa'i, number 1459, Abu Dawood, number 177, Ibn Majah, number 1263, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 2711. Our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha, radiallahu anha, she relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sun and the moon are two signs from amongst the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they do not eclipse due to the death or birth of anyone. Thus, when you see the eclipse, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say takbir, offer salat, and give in sadaqah. So in this flawless report in Bukhari and Muslim, the context was that our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his beloved son Ibrahim radiallahu anhu passed away. And this was only a few months before the Prophet himself passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So obviously with his son passing, people were in a state of immense grief. But when his son passed, there was an eclipse. So obviously some people, they started saying things about the eclipse. One of them said that Allah the Almighty and Glorious himself is showing his sympathy with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So during this, the Prophet said these words, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He goes, the sun and the moon are signs from amongst the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not eclipse due to the death or birth of anyone. Then he mentioned what you should do. He goes, remember your Lord, say takbir, offer salat, give sadaqah. So here Shaykh Zaghlul al-Najjar, hafizahullah, he clarified in his work, an entry to studying the scientific miraculousness of the glorious Quran and the purified prophetic Sunnah, page 573 of the English translation. When the sun eclipses, the amount of solar energy reaching the earth decreases. The matter at which the temperature of the earth also decreases. On the contrary, when the moon eclipses, the solar energy reaching us increases. The matter at which the temperature of the earth increases relatively for a few minutes. Thus, had it been but for the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has made these matters to be set at such an absolute degree of precision, the earth would then have been subjected during these two phenomena to such devastating dangers, which no one knows but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended that one should turn to salah, give sadaqah during that time with the hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may then save the earth together with what is therein scattered from these dangers. Subhanallah. So simply put, what the respected Shaykh was saying, when there's an eclipse, the balance of the earth shifts, i.e. the protection of the earth, more radiation or less radiation reaches the earth. If the eclipse went on for a prolonged period of time, which it could have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have made the eclipse last a week. But again, he's highlighting the shortness of the eclipse. He goes, this is part of his mercy. If he had prolonged it, the earth would have been open to devastating dangers. Therefore, the Prophet was highlighting, this is one of the reasons why you turn to Salat, give Sadaqah, and free slaves in another report. So it's a sign from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other thing which is certainly worth mentioning, from the non-Muslim perspective, because they do not believe that our beloved messenger is a prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from a non-Muslim perspective, we can actually use this incident. We can say to them, look, his followers, as you would have us believe, they were saying God is showing his sympathy. So for an imposter, it would have been an ideal situation to make use of this. He would have said, yes, you're right. There you go. I'm the messenger of God. God is showing sympathy upon the death of my son. Why did he not make use of this incident to further promote his view that he's the holy prophet? Because he's not a liar. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note, this is the messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other thing which is worth mentioning about eclipses, it only takes place perfectly on this earth of ours. You don't get a perfect solar eclipse on the Mercury or whatever, Mars, Jupiter. The perfect, beautiful eclipse takes place on the earth. And if you know anything about the moon and the sun, they are not at all the same in stature or size. The moon is minuscule compared to the sun. And yet on this earth, we have a perfect eclipse. Every time it happens, you understand? Another eclipse happens, total solar eclipse. Does the moon get slightly further? No, it's exactly the same. You see the beautiful passing of the two bodies. Question, how could that have happened by chance? Not only does it take place once on this earth, where human beings and jinn live, no point doing it on other planets. Who's going to see the eclipse there? Why is it happening on the planet that we're on? And secondly, why does it keep on happening? A system's been put in place. So note all of these questions. They just totally ignore. All they do is they put those fully glasses on and they look at the sun and they go and get their ice creams up. Right? So the response is there is a sign in this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also some of the ulama have used this to prove the passing away of our beloved messenger. They can work back because the eclipses are perfect. You can go back, you know, perfectly to deduce certain timelines, as they say. So I should have mentioned this yesterday, but I mentioned it today. So moving on to the subject at hand now. So after spending a week talking about the greatness of our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, we move now on to our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let's first talk about his blessed birth. Upon the imminent birth of our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the joy of creation knew no bounds. So how do we know that? In Abu Nu'aym, in his Dala'il al-Nubu'ah, Imam Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi, in his Al-Khasa'is al-Kubra, volume 1, page 47, Sayyidina Qutaybah radiyallahu anhu, he relates, when Amina radiyallahu anhu was close to giving birth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels alayhi salatu wa salam to open the doors to the skies and heavens and to congratulate one another. When Amina, our beloved messenger's mother, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiyallahu anhu, was close to giving birth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels to open the doors to the skies and heavens and to congratulate one another. Look how amazing. So what was happening in the unseen world, even prior to his birth, Allah ta'ala told the angels, congratulate each other. Because my beloved is coming to the earth. In another report it mentions, in Abu Nu'aym, in his Dala'il al-Nubu'ah, Imam Suyuti in his Al-Khasa'is al-Kubra, volume 1, page 47, Umar ibn Qutaybah, he relates, on the eve of the birth of the Holy Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planted 70,000 kasturi trees around the banks of the river of Al-Kawthar. And from the fruits of these trees, the entire paradise were filled with their scent. In addition, the residents of the heavens sent salutations on the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and supplicated for him. So this is again in the unseen world. So what was happening before he's born, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala planted 70,000 kasturi trees where? Around the banks of Kawthar. Kawthar is the river that will be given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we will drink from inshallah on the day of judgment. He planted, subhanahu wa ta'ala, 70,000 kasturi trees around those blessed rivers. So don't get this impression, these little trees, these are trees of the other world. These fruits came from these trees, they filled entire paradise with scent. Imagine, nobody's ate the fruits, but the fruits of those trees led of such a scent, the whole of paradise was scented. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all the residents of the heavens sent salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and prayed for him. This is before he's born. So let me ask you a question. Was his birth a normal occasion? So the response is, you must be kidding. So why is it important to highlight this? First of all, anything about the Prophet is important for us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, we don't start comparing with other prophets. But if you get Christians and they're talking about the miraculous birth of the Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and they're highlighting that, and then they pose the question to you, what happened to your prophet when he was born? And then we come out with the statement, it was a normal birth, born in Makkah. Then you respond to the person, was it a normal birth? Who said it was a normal birth? And there you go, Bole Bali, talking again about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, look, because you're asking about our Prophet, we will tell you what we know. And these are some of the things that were taking place before he's born. He's not even born yet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another report, in Tabarani in his Kabir 25-147, Bayhaqi in his Dalail Nubu'ah 1-111, Abu Nu'aym in his Dalail Nubu'ah number 76, Ibn Asakir in his Tariq Dimish 3-79, Al-Bidayah 2-264, Al-Haytami in Majma' al-Zawaid 8-220, Fath al-Bari 6-583. Sayyidina Uthman ibn Abi al-As, he relates radiyallahu anhu, that his mother Sayyidina Fatima radiyallahu anhu bin Abdullah al-Thaqafiyah, she said, when Amina gave birth radiyallahu anhu, such a light emitted from her, illuminating the dwelling in which we were in and its enclosure. فَمَا شَيْئًا أَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ إِلَنْ إِلَّا نُورٌ. So that there was not a thing except that I saw light. So this is an eyewitness. So who's this woman? So she's the mother of Uthman ibn Abi al-As. He was from the Thaqif. He later embraced Islam. His mother was called Fatima, look how interesting. So who was the midwife of the Prophet ﷺ? Fatima. Fatima bint Abdullah al-Thaqafiyah. She goes, when she gave birth, he goes, this is all I can tell you. He goes, there was nur blasting everywhere. Basically, she goes, I was dazzled. And the whole dwelling was blasting with nur. The whole enclosure, then she said, فَمَا شَيْئًا أَنْزُرُ إِلَيْهِ إِلَّا نُورٌ. So that there was not a single thing except I saw light. Because everything was illuminated. The dwelling, outside the trees, the livestock, the holy Kaaba, everything just blasting with nur. This noble woman further elucidated, radiallahu anhu, when the birth of the Messenger of Allah was approaching, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَرَأَيْتُ الْبَيْتَ حِينَ وَضَعَ قَدِمْتَ الْعَنُورَ. At that time, I looked at the holy house, it was illuminated. I also saw the stars drawing near to the extent that I felt they would fall upon. This is in Bayhaqi in his Dalail Nubu'ah 1-111, Abu Nu'aym in his Dalail Nubu'ah number 76, Tabri in his Tariq 1-454, Hafiz Suhaili in his Al-Rawd Al-Unuf 1-278-9, Hafiz Ibn Al-Athir in his Al-Qamil 1-459 and others. So what else did she witness, this blessed woman, radiyallahu? She said, when he was coming near, when he was nearing to be coming into the earth, He goes, the holy Kaaba started to blast with nur. And then she said, the stars were falling down on me. This is what I felt. Is that the stars were coming down. So normally you see the stars in the sky. Imagine the dangling like lanterns. He goes, I was fearful that the sky was going to fall upon me. With regards to the holy Kaaba, in Abu Nu'aym in his Dala'il Nubu'ah, Imam Sayyuti in his Al-Khasais Al-Kubra, volume 1, page 47, Sayyidina Qutaybah, he relates radiyallahu, there was a voice that could be heard from the Kaaba, which said, now my light will be given back to me, and I will be free of these idols, and people will once again come and visit me. O Uzza, you are finished. The Kaaba could then be seen swaying out of happiness. And indeed, this was one of the first miraculous signs of the arrival of the Holy Prophet. Let me ask you a question. Do people hear these reports? You know, they sound, you know, when you first hear them, you're thinking, my God, what's this? I just thought he was born. Normal birth. So what is it mentioned here? The Kaaba starts talking. The Kaaba is a female. One report says it's a female. And what does it say? My nur is coming back to me. These silly idols will now be taken away. O Uzza, which is an idol around the Kaaba, you're finished. This is before the Prophet comes into the earth. Then the Kaaba starts swaying. Imagine, like this. He goes, this was one of the clearest signs of the arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another report, Imam Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi, in his Al-Khasais Al-Kubra, volume 1, page 48, Hafiz Zulqani in his Sharh Al-Mawahib, volume 1, page 112, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he relates, radiyallahu anhu, the mother of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Amina, radiyallahu anhu, used to say at the time of the Holy Prophet's birth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the veils were removed, and I could see to the east and the west three flags, one in the east, one in the west, and one on top of the Kaaba. So now who's mentioning it? Amina herself, the beloved mother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, the veils were lifted, meaning the unseen, I'm starting to see the unseen. I saw three flags, one in the east, one in the west. Where's the other one? Top of the Kaaba. So what's happening to the Kaaba upon the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What else happened? The report mentions in Ibn Asakir that the livestock of the Quraysh started talking. The Quraysh heard it. He goes, he is coming. The Messenger of Allah is arriving. And they heard it perfectly from the livestock on the night he was born. So imagine, camels start talking Arabic. Goats. Right? So why is it so important for us? Why don't we know this? Right? This is the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let's summarize now. Let's leave the references. What sort of things happened imminently or shortly after his birth? You can mention four things. Number one, the angels alayhi salatu wasalam were congratulating each other and sending blessings upon him. Imagine, they were all sending salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they were congratulating each other. Just like we get happy when you're blessed with a son. We get happy when you're blessed with a grandson, nephew, niece. The angels were getting congratulating each other upon the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Second, 70,000 kasturi trees were planted by the Almighty Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the banks of Al-Kawthar, the fruits of which filled the entire paradise with an awesome scent. Thirdly, the holy Kaaba was beaming with illumination. It spoke and it swayed in joy upon his imminent birth. Fourthly, a flag of honor was also placed upon the glorious Kaaba. There's a hadith which has weakness. It goes on the day of Eid al-Fitr, Jibreel plants a flag on top of the Kaaba. Green flag. So this is very significant. It means it's a time to be happy when the flags are planted on the Kaaba. So when was it planted? Upon the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And number five, animals were talking to each other, which the unbelieving Quraysh heard. So what does that tell you about the unbelief of the Quraysh? Their unbelief wasn't normal unbelief. We sadly give them too much credit. When the Prophet came, you know, he got into Mount Safa. He called them. If I told you there's a you know, famous hadith. And everybody thinks, oh, they know he's a decent bloke. He's a decent, no, they're a decent bloke, right? They knew everything about him. As soon as he said for the first time, I'm the messenger of Allah, I'm inviting you all, they turned against him. Think about that. Not out of ignorance, with knowledge. And that's why the worst of the unbelievers, or the best, if you can call it that, is the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of the munafiqs, or the best of the munafiqs, time of the Prophet, the best of the believers, time, everything's the best in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note, very important to highlight with regards to the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another amazing thing happened. The report mentions in Ahmad and Tabarani from Zubair and Umhani, the cousins of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when Abraha was destroyed, when the birds came and they destroyed the army of the elephants, then the report says they did not worship any idol for a period of time. I can't remember the years. So when the Prophet was born, there was no idol worship. Think about that. Because the Prophet was born the year in which Allah Ta'ala sent those birds to destroy Abraha. So when the Quraysh saw this mighty sign, they stopped worshipping idols. So there was a temporary halt to shirk. Imagine. And who was born in that temporary time when the shirk stopped? The Messenger of Allah. Because people say this. Because the Prophet was born into shirk. In the land of shirk. And the response to that is, no, he wasn't. He was born in the mother city. And there was no shirk. Then a person looks, he goes, what are you talking about, brother? There are idols and all sorts. Yes, because they were so overwrought, they stopped worshipping idols. And look at the honor Allah Ta'ala was giving down to the earth. In the heavenly realm, everybody's congratulating each other. Some of the people see these amazing signs. The people themselves have stopped committing shirk. Then the Messenger of Allah comes unto the earth. Upon his birth, Hazrat Ali relates, radiyallahu, in Abu Nu'aym in his Dalail Nubu'ah, volume 1, page 173, when Amina gave birth, radiyallahu, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdul Muttalib, his grandfather, came. He held him in his lap, kissed him, and then gave him to Abu Talib and said, this is my trust to you. Indeed, this child will have a great status in the future. He then ordered for the sheep and goats to be sacrificed. And وَأَطْعَمَ أَحْلَ مَكَّةَ ثَلَاثَ, he gave the people of Makkah a 3-day invitation to eat the meat. Thereafter, on every corner of the city of Makkah, he slaughtered goats so that all of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, la yunma'u minhu insan wala sabu'un wala ta'il, from wild beasts to birds and humans, could all eat. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So Abdul Muttalib, this is the grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His father, the Prophet's father, passed away before he was born. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiyallahu. So Abdul Muttalib, realizing he's coming to the end of his life as well, he immediately said to Abu Talib. Abu Talib was his son, and Abdullah, they were full brothers. The only sons of Abdul Muttalib who were full brothers were Abu Talib and Abdullah, radiyallahu. So Abdul Muttalib, he could give to any of his sons, Hamza, Abbas, Abu Lahab. He didn't. He gave it. So this shows his wisdom. He goes, this is my trust to you. Meaning, if I go, you need to look after your brother's son. Then what did he do? He ordered for sheep and goats to be sacrificed, the people of Makkah. This is for the people of Makkah. 3 days. Imagine, party time. Eat and drink. 3 days. Then it says, at the corner of every part of Makkah, he slaughtered goats again. Because this was for everybody. Birds, beasts, humans. Everybody enjoyed. Did you know this about Abdul Muttalib? Right? So look at all these amazing things about the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi. Abdul Muttalib was the one who named him Muhammad. One report mentions that. There are so many queries. Why did you call him Muhammad? He goes, he's going to be praised. In other words, I know my grandson has got a great future. He's going to be praised not only on the earth, in the heavens as well. And what does Muhammad mean? The praiseworthy one. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus, upon the birth of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his honorable grandfather Abdul Muttalib not only provided the blessed meat of goats and sheep for 3 days to the residents of Makkah, but then also further goat meat to provide for even his animals and birds. Subhanallah. When they say akika, I think he did more than akika for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another report it mentions what else happened. In Abu Nu'aym in his Dalail Nubu'ah, Imam Sayyuti in his Al-Khasais Al-Kubra, volume 1, page 47, Hafiz Zurqani in his Sharh Al-Mawahib, volume 1, page 111, Umar ibn Qutayba, he relates, rahmatullah alayh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave boys, only boys, to parents in the year the Holy Prophet was born, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to further honor him, he ordered the trees to provide plenty of fruit, and for those fearful to be free from any kind of fear in the year he was born. So what happened? That year, every woman would give birth to a boy. And obviously this is not to belittle girls. But people naturally in those days, especially you know the breadwinner and etc. This is one thing Allah Ta'ala did, because everybody has boys. The second thing he did, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that he goes, everything will have, there'll be plenty of food. Trees will bloom. Fruit for everybody. And the third thing he did was he took the fear out of people's hearts. So anybody had any problems, he goes, why am I not feeling anything? You know, it was like that fear had gone. This was again the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, such was just a glimpse into the entry of our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into this lowly world. Imagine. And then of course there's other reports. Shaitan gets a severe fever. There's two reports. One is when he proclaimed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another report says before he's born, he gets a very severe fever. So the other shaitans, they goes, Master, what's the matter with you? He goes, all the work I've done is going to be destroyed. So they goes, tell us what to do, Master. He goes, we will deal with it. He goes, you can't deal with anything. He goes, he's going to do all my work. And it was to do with the imminent arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith mentions in Tabarani, Shaitan wailed on a few occasions, meaning he would have died of grief if he hadn't been given the life till Qiyamah. One is when the Prophet was born, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another when Surah Fatiha was revealed, Surah Fatiha, and then these other things which I can't remember, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But one is upon the Prophet's birth, another report is when he was commissioned as a Prophet, meaning when he was sent, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all of this shows that his entry into the world was truly a royal affair. Allah Ta'ala did it, and he showed how much he loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But as Muslims, we should be so ashamed. Imagine. Somebody goes, the greatest of creation, rahmatul lil alamin, the mercy to the universe, yes. What happened upon his birth? Born in Makkah. He was born in Makkah, then what happened? His dad died before he was born. Then what happened? Then the grandfather looked after him. The way you're talking is like a normal person. And then he goes, then for 40 years, I don't really know what happened. But then at 40, he went into a cave, I think. And then he got revelation. Then it all kicked off. Right? Then you go, so let me get this straight. So for 40 years, nothing happened. Blinkers. And then for 23 years, that's when everything started. Is that what you're saying as a Muslim? Yeah. Go on, renew your iman. Imagine it. Saying Muhammad Rasulullah hasn't got a clue what he's talking about, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The unbelieving Quraysh knew full well. Abu Talib, you know how many reports. Abu Talib was once with him and he was a child, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Talib's traveling to Arafat, I don't know why. And then what happens is he gets thirsty. So the report says he gets thirsty and he actually says, I'm thirsty. So then the Prophet gets off the beast of burden, he's a child. Strikes his foot on the ground, spring comes out. Abu Talib drinks from it, refreshes up, and they carry on the journey. So what does that tell you about Abu Talib? He didn't go, how did you do that? You got to teach me? He didn't say anything. Why? Because everybody knew something special about this kid. Right? Where the spring come in Arafat, imagine. I don't know if he's still there. Right? This is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another example. His uncle, Zubair, he had a cousin called Zubair, but Zubair was his dad's brother. He died before prophethood, before proclamation. But Zubair was taking him on a business trip. This is recorded in Ar-Rawd al-Unuf. And he's going with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and two problems. There's a flood. So they can't travel any further. Whole, huge body of water. The report says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam touches the water sinks completely into the ground. And they carry on the journey. Question. Why isn't Zubair, his uncle, saying, how did you do that? And then the report says they come across a wild animal and he won't let anybody cross. And then the Prophet goes as a child towards the animal. Not only calms it, sits on it. And this is a normal journey when the Prophet is a child with his uncles. This is what Abu Talib witnessed. This is what Zubair witnessed. So note, his youth is extraordinary. Another example, again in the books, when he was a child, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's no rain. So Abu Talib, they turn to him because, look, you're the chief, please do something. So Abu Talib takes hold of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just a child, he's come with me, takes him to the Kaaba Sharif. And then he says to his nephew, he goes, make a dua. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looks at the sky, and they scattered little, you know, little clouds. Scattered little, you know, driblets of cloud. He's pointing to them. And as he's pointing to them, the clouds are coming together. He's moving in them with his fingers. Right? And the clouds come together. And then he starts raining. And Abu Talib goes, that's it, let's go. Question. Why didn't any of the Quraysh say, did you just see what we just saw? So when the Prophet proclaimed, my dear brothers and sisters, at the age of 40, this is what impression we're giving to Muslims. It's like nobody knew there's something special about it. Right? So if that's what you think, that's what you're going to propagate to non-Muslims. Bole bale. Right? So think about that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam understood his destiny. He knew that he had to wait until the age that Allah Ta'ala allowed him to proclaim. Yes, it's true that when he received the revelation, the Quran, it affected him. We know that. He started to shake. We know that. Why? Because the Quran is something unique to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is what was making him shake. It was the revelation, the Quran, that affected him. He wasn't baffled by the fact, who came to me? Am I a prophet? Do I need confirmation? What's going on? Right? It was the Quran that was making him go into that state. He goes, cover me. Meaning the Quran is, you know, the impact of the Quran was immense. So note, when talking about our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which time span would you like to talk? All I've talked about today is his birth. His youth. Have you ever heard this? Right? Imagine people have lived their lives as Muslims, unaware of the youth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what a sad and tragic loss. Imagine. And then Christians, you know, we have good thing against Jesus Christ, alayhi salatu wasalam. Yes, he was born miraculous. Yes, did the Holy Spirit, Jibreel did blow the Spirit into Maryam. We accept that. So what's your point? The point is, why didn't the greatest of your prophets not be given this honor? Because you don't know what happened when the Prophet was born. If you knew what happened, you wouldn't be asking those questions. But it's our fault because we're not mentioning it to ourselves. So how can we tell you, the rest of the world? When you get books of seerah, you know the tragic thing? They go straight to the time of revelation. Because yeah, he was born and something, and then he went into the cave. And then, you read all the books, seerah, Ar-Rahik al-Mukhtub. Talks about 1,000 years before the Prophet skips his youth. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right, so again, we need to first educate ourselves, have that connection with our beloved messenger, and realize what an immense and an awesome day it was when he came into this world. And Allah was clearly highlighting this to us through all these reports which I've mentioned. So all I've mentioned tonight on this blessed night is basically mentioned one of the heavenly signs, i.e. the eclipse, and a few of the lessons we can take from that sign of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then of course I talked about our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and just about the time where he was coming into this world sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdi subhanallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa billahi min shaitanir rajim subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr innal insana lafi khusr الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصلوا الحق وواصلوا الصبر